This is weird.
This is awesome. That's the way it should be. All right. Yeah.
That was great.
Welcome back, everybody. You may recognize this voice here. This is Mr. Matt Dyer. I am sitting in the Pastor Tobin seat this week because Josh has to run the sound controls. And I'm sitting here with the main event, Josh Emery.
Just me and you.
Yeah.
We've been left behind.
We have been left behind.
Everybody's gone on vacation. Yeah. They left us.
Someone's got to work.
Well, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that they left us alone.
Yes. So, it's a good thing.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Yeah. So we're going to talk. I think today we're really going to just talk about worship, the necessity of worship and how it affects our lives, all aspects of our lives, our growth. We've been talking a lot about growth for the past, 2 months. We've been really into just growth of the church and seeing the church grow. So I think it's important to know like how this fits in. And when we say worship, okay, so when I say worship to you, Matt, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
The first thing that comes to mind is music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not anymore, but like all my life, like you think worship, and when people talk about worship, that's what it is.
Right. They think, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the songs are good, you know, or this song or that song. And we're going to talk so much more about that. We're going to try to get it to 30 minutes. We have Matt who likes to talk and me who doesn't. So, but I think together we can get it. I think we'll be able to do everything and hopefully make Tobin proud. Huh? So where do we want to go with that? Let's go dive into worship. So let's take a moment and just define worship. Aside from music, because it's praise, it's the praise on our lips, right? Whatever we have, lifting his voice in song is a big part of it, and we see it throughout scripture, but there's so much more, and so we'll just go back and forth and some of the aspects of worship that we can experience.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, first of all, worship, like, one thing I've come across is a quote that's, worship is a thank you that can't be silenced.
Yeah, I like that.
And so, I mean, really, our worship is all just a form of thanksgiving to our Creator and our Master.
Yeah.
And it can take many forms, but it's using our breath to give back thanks to the God who gave us our breath.
Right. Yeah. Which is cool. In Genesis, it says that he breathed his breath into us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just returning it.
Right.
Which is what he breathed life into us with.
Mm-hmm.
So we're returning our life back to him by giving him that.
Yeah.
Kind of a cool little.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much more than just the songs we sing. You could be driving down the road and be thinking of somebody, thinking about what's going on in your life, and just that thanksgiving of thank you, God, that I have a great family. Spending a little time just giving him that thanks is an act of worship.
Yeah.
How we live our lives, according to the scriptures and according to loving each other can be an act of worship.
Right.
It is an act of worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, and then, like, I think of just going and all that God has created, like, looking at all that God has created.
Yeah.
And enjoying that. Like, you and I both really like hunting, and some of the best parts of hunting is sitting in the woods and observing
Yeah.
What God's created.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, before you look down the scope and you see a deer, but just even seeing the deer itself, like the creatures that he's made, you know, the intricacies that he's placed on every little thing to work together, ecosystems.
Yeah.
It's just mind blowing.
Yeah.
And as long as we turn it back to God,
mm-hmm.
is an act of worship.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very.
Like probably like the last, I would say probably 4 seasons, maybe 5 hunting seasons. Mm-hmm. Before that, if I prayed at all, it was, God, let me see the huge buck.
Yeah.
Just let me have a huge buck, please. Just. And, you know, about 5 years ago, I changed, and I just started every morning that I go out and I'm walking in the woods. It starts just by, you know, thank you for this opportunity to get away from noise, to get away from people, to get away from everything, and just sit in your creation. Mm. Just let me have a unique experience with your creation to get today. And since then, like, never once has it failed where something, like, incredible just happens that, like brings me to tears. Whether, like, this last year, one of the best things that happened was this hawk landed, like, 6 feet away from me and just, like, sat there for a minute, kind of just looking at me, and I'm looking at it, and it doesn't know what I am, and then I just saw it, like, take off and just go right down this tote road and just snatch the squirrel up, and, like that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, that's all that happened. I was in the woods for like 10 hours. That's all that happened that day. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah. And it's enough. That's cool. It becomes enough. Like, I used to do the same thing where I'd sit in the woods and, okay, God, you know, just this one. Just give me this one. And then now it's, I sit in there and just look around at the leaves and the foliage and just like, the colors that are there, you know, because it's usually always when the leaves are changing, so, or have changed. Right. So you get to see all that and experience it. And, you know, squirrels will come up next to you or chipmunks, and they don't have a clue you're even there.
Nope.
And just sit there and it's like, wow, God, you're just so awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, to have that part of worship, like that awe, I think of, it reminds me of the scripture where Jesus says, unless you come as a little child, you know, no, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And you think of a little child that, you know, even or a baby that is experiencing life for the first time. They come at it and everything is this awe-inspiring experience. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, it's old hat to us.
Yeah.
As they are, their eyes are opening to all these things around, they're looking at it, and they just, you watch it on their faces, and they're like, oh, wow, that actually does that, or that, that's huge, or like, that's that, or it's just, that's, if we come to God in that way, like, the Bible says that we become new creations.
Yep.
So as we become that new creation, like, and you see it in new believers and people, you definitely can see it, like, it's like this veil is taken off their eyes, and everything is through a different lens.
Yeah.
And
it's like when they put those glasses on the young kids too, and they see colors for the first time that are colorblind.
Yeah.
It's incredible to see, and it's contagious.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you, I mean, as people who've been walking with the Lord for a while, everything, sometimes we get numb to the things around us and the things that God is doing around us. But like a new believer, every experience, and then they'll come to you and they'll be like, guess what happened? They go, you never guess. And you're like, oh yeah, that happens. You know what I mean? And you don't ever want to be that guy that snuffs that out. But you know, I mean, that is like the definition of worship.
Yeah.
Like in like just everything is new, everything is great. And if we keep praying in that aspect, like to God, just keep giving you fresh eyes to see what you've done. Give me, you know, fresh vision on life, because we get so drawn down sometimes with the day to day, you know, and I won't say Christianity, but the day to day living, and forget sometimes what God has done, where, you know, where he's brought us from, you know, And like to bring it to music, that's the experience like we want to give people.
Yep.
When we're singing,
right.
When we're entering into worship, we want people to be refreshed and renewed in that vision.
Yep.
And I know I'm just keep going, but go ahead, man.
Yeah, it's kind of so when you're talking about, you know, the childlike, I mean, my girls are getting older, but they're still young. And so yesterday, another form of worship, my oldest Lily, she said, "Dad, I've decided that every Wednesday from now to Easter, I'm going to fast." Mm. And I was like, "Okay, well, that's cool." And she's like, "Yeah, this Wednesday I decided I'm not going to eat." And I'm like, "Well, that's the only way to fast." And so she's like, "Well, you can." I'm like, no. So anyway, that's a whole different
thing. We'll get on
but
to that
like,
one later.
But fasting is another form of worship. But the point I wanted to make from that is I said, "Well, do you want me to talk to you a little bit about fasting?" Because she knew that fasting is a way to get closer to God and whatnot. And so I went on to like Matthew 6, and I went into Isaiah 58, I think is where I went to too, and just talked about like our appearance and how we should keep ourselves when we're fasting and what our posture should be like and what our attitude should be like, and that it's still an internal form of worship, not that other people should know and be like, "Oh, they're going through a really hard day today because they're fasting," or whatever.
Right.
And the way that she was looking at me when I was sharing this with her, I was sharing with my grandfather this morning, and the word he used is the best. It was precious.
Mm.
Because she was sitting there so intent on just listening to me share from our Father's word and teaching her, and then had questions. And it's like, to look at God's word through those eyes and through that lens is incredible.
Mm,
And the fuel that you get from it when you're the one kind of leading and directing is awesome. I mean, it's to jump now to worshiping on Sunday mornings. When we're doing a song and I happen to maybe look up and I just scan the crowd and I see hands lifted and heads lifted, and you can hear the congregation singing. Yeah. It's just incredible. It's like, in terms of music, like we're starting to get there a little bit. Like we're starting to just worship freely and not care and just lift our hands to God and say, "Hey, here I am. Like I'm ready to be filled. I'm ready to like pour out to you. I'm ready for you to pour into me. Like, I want to make this thing happen. This isn't a show. This is like me wanting to be united with you. Fill me."
Yeah.
And it's awesome because growing up in the 90s in a non-denominational Baptist church,
right?
there were no hand raisings. There was no clapping. There was, you stand there, you don't sway.
Right.
We're singing verse 1, verse 3, verse 4, and you're going to like it.
And be as miserable as possible.
Yeah. And like, and so now just to see that, and it's just, it's incredible in that regard of worship. But just, I could go on and on. Seeing things through the eyes of children.
Mm. Yeah. Right. And that's where we need to be. Like, see, just not seeing, but that we need to get back there. Like, we need to get back, like,
right.
Going back to our first love.
Right.
Like, I remember, like, all of us, when we met our, you know, you met your wife, you know, and, you know, that first love, that desire to just be, it was almost worship.
Yeah.
You know, you would do anything, and you would give anything, and, and you wanted to be with them at all times. And,
right.
You know, and hopefully that's still the case.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
So, yes. And she does not like it when I leave the house either to come do podcasts. Like, she does not like that break. She can't wait till I get back home.
Yeah. I think, of course, healthy breaks are nice. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Of course. But in general, like, you want to be together. That's why you get together. And you strive to spend time together.
Right.
And that's what we need to get to with God, because God is like, yep. He was our first love. You know, right. He is the one that created everything. He saved yep. us. He died for us. So we need to get that fire back to, yep. to where we desire all of our time, our energy to be around there, where we'll do anything. I'll do anything to get our right. time. And it's more of an afterthought now to spend time in the Word right. sometimes, and to pray or to, right. to talk to Him, or even take time to just be thankful.
Yep.
You know, we get caught up in the routine of stuff, and then yep. that stopping we don't do.
Right.
You know, and you know, to be honest, like for myself, the past couple of weeks with the sound system and everything yeah. going on, like I lost sight of that.
Right.
Like it became the thing.
Yeah.
You know, and not who it was for and right. why we were doing it. It became this own little monster
yep.
that took over. And yep. you know, I was embarrassed. Like I was generally embarrassed at how I acted and how it consumed me in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need to just refocus at worship practice and be like, okay, right. you know what? No, this is, it's going to be what it is.
Yep.
And this is who it's for. And that's yep. what we're going to do. And in everything, that's who it's for. Like we have to remember why we do what we do in everything that we do.
Yep.
You know, it's not for, you know, you may go to your job to collect a paycheck, but you're not going to your job just to collect a paycheck. Your first thing is you're going to a job because God gave you the job mm-hmm. so that you can be a witness, so that right. you can be. And that goes into the second part of, you know, worship that we're going to talk about is yep. Not only what is worship and how do we worship, but how does it affect our lives?
Yeah.
What impact does it have in our lives when we don't, and what kind of growth do we get out of it? Because yeah. I think some people take worship and they put it in a separate category of Christianity.
Yep.
They go, well, I can believe in Jesus, I can believe, and I can come to church and I can go to Bible study, but the worship part I really struggle with. Or that's not who I am. So let's just kind of, we're going to just unpack that a little bit and talk about, like, you talked about raising hands, and like yeah. in some churches they don't raise hands. So
right.
what's your understanding of raising hands and the reason why we raise hands?
Okay. So my understanding of raising hands, why we raise hands is, it's to be connected with God. I'm lifting up, like whatever it is that I'm lifting up to God. Whether I'm praying, I'm giving Him my burdens, my anxiety, my stress that I've been carrying. I'm lifting that to God. Mm. But as I'm lifting it to God, I'm receiving
yep.
what God has for me.
Yep.
I'm open. I'm putting myself in a place of humility and in a place of openness, where I can receive God's blessing, God's word, whatever He has for me in that moment to listen for. And it's a me thing. It's not a, I want people to see me lifting my hands.
Right.
It's
super personal.
And yeah.
Super personal. I just want to kind of play off that a little bit. When your kids were young,
yeah.
When your daughter, either one, she fell down, hurt herself, like fell yeah. scut her knee. Did she ever run at you
yeah.
With her hands down?
No, hands are always up. Daddy, pick me up.
Right.
Or when they're scared.
Yep.
When they're sad.
It's a posture.
Yep.
And I think that's the thing that people don't understand. It's a posture of our heart.
Yeah.
And where we're at, where even now, your daughters can come to you, and they might not need anything.
Right.
But their arms will go out and mm. up to reach towards you.
Yeah.
To just give you a hug.
Yeah. Reassurance, comfort.
Yeah. They don't need anything.
Right.
Maybe they just want a hug from their dad.
Yeah.
And that's the posture we need to put ourselves in when we come in to worship. Like, even yeah. every day that we wake up, our posture should immediately be our hands are open. We sing that song, my hands are open. Yeah. And that's what it makes me think of. My hands are open.
Yeah.
My arms are wide, right?
Yep.
So I get my hands up there. I am in a position and a posture to receive.
Right.
But also, I'm all the crap that I had all this week, I'm going to give it to you. Because that's what your daughter would do, right? When she would run to you, like, I'm hurting, I'm wounded. She's running at you to give that to you, like, for you to take it away. You to make it better. Right. You to heal her. You to be the security and the comfort.
Well, and what's more with that, though? As a dad, your kid comes running to you. You don't say, go clean the dirt off first, go clean the blood up, and worry about what's going to get on your clothes. You just pick up your kid and you love on him.
Right.
God doesn't say, go try to clean yourself up before you can give me this or this.
Right.
God just says, hey, I've already carried that away. Like, it ain't no thing.
Right.
I've got a tied stick.
Yeah.
And just takes it.
Got stock and Tide Pods.
You're never gonna be clean enough to really have God pick you up and not leave something. Like, you just gotta surrender.
Right.
And just get over the pride. And that's the biggest thing, though, with being able to worship freely, getting over our pride.
Oh, yeah.
Our arrogance and our flesh.
Yeah. And as guys, I think we have the hardest time with it.
Mm-hmm.
And no offense, you know, you look around the congregation and you see that the guys have the hardest time with raising their hands because they think that that's not cool or that's
right.
But honestly, like, what do you have to lose, man?
Right.
And the effect. So let's go with the effect. You get into that posture. You get into a posture of raising your hands on an everyday basis. And whether it's literally raising your hands every day or it's a posture, which is a heart posture every day where you're like, thank you, God. I just need you to take this. So when we start doing that every day and getting and presenting ourselves in that posture, the hand raising on a Sunday comes naturally.
Yep.
But what happens is we don't posture ourselves properly throughout the week.
Yeah.
And we just try to get it all in on a Sunday morning.
Right.
I have to get from 0 to 100 now.
Right.
Because I have not prepared myself all week for any of this. I haven't been praying. I haven't been, you know, in that moment. I haven't been spending time with the Father. I haven't been in a posture of need.
Right.
And it's a need. It's a desire. Yep. Like, that worship is like, God, you're everything.
Right.
I mean, we wear the shirts of Jesus is everything.
Right.
That should be our posture every day.
Right.
And when we get into that, the rest of it, the singing worship comes naturally.
Yeah.
It comes with it. So I think getting into that, and I forgot where I was going, but go for it. I lost everything. I lost everything in my mind, you know?
Well, thank you. I was having fun just listening to you and go on that journey. And then you just dropped it in my lap.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I don't know if we want to change and go to kind of the next thing that I had written down about. I mean, we can go further with the singing again. And
let's go into like how it affects our lives. So that posture affects our lives. We take that posture.
Yeah.
And then, so we're in that posture on Sunday, but throughout the week we get ourselves postured in that week. So how does that affect everyday life and change? So, and our growth.
Mm.
So we talk about our discipleship.
Yep.
And our discipleship is through small groups and discipling. Well, small groups.
Right.
So basically small groups is how we disciple.
Right.
Sunday school, you know, we have a new believers class.
Right.
That's our discipleship. So in that is growth. But how does worship and true worship, not just Sunday morning worship, but worship throughout the week, that posture, how does that help us grow? What do you think?
But I think, you know, you got to start somewhere. You always got to start somewhere, right? And so if you start training for a marathon, you don't just start by running the whole marathon. You start by running a mile.
Right.
And then you build up from that mile until you get your marathon. It's kind of got to be the same, because people who go and say, oh, I'm going to do a marathon, and they go, and this is how much training I've done for a marathon. I can't even remember how much a marathon, I think it's 26 miles. Is that right? So, but like, was not sure. Like, you don't have to worry about me beating you in the Boston Marathon, okay?
Unless I'm in a car.
Yeah. But I got you. We can't joke around about that anymore.
Oh, we can't?
No, we can't. Like, didn't that happen? Like, anyway.
Oh, there was somebody that
take,
got in a car.
We'll take that out in editing. So,
no, we won't.
No, we won't. But my point is this. Like, when we start somewhere, you start and you're going to continue to train. And as you continue to train, you're going to get more and more and more into it. And you're gonna not want to stop.
Right.
And it's gonna naturally replace those things that you were just doing, whether it's bad habits or it's just useless habits that aren't going to bear any fruit. And it's going to be replaced by growing in God's word, growing in your prayer life, growing in, you know, your music or your spontaneous worship or your outpouring of love to other people. But it's also going to impact in your day-to-day, just your general attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Like days that I wake up and I even just read like the verse of the day that pops up on my Bible app, just doing that and then meditating over that for a couple minutes, my mindset and my day starts so much better.
Oh, yeah.
Versus like you get up late, you don't take time to pray in the morning, you don't take time to even read a verse, and you just rush. Awful days. Until you finally get to the point where you're like, I'm done being beaten.
Right.
I screwed up. I'm sorry, God. And then, boom, you get that chain of communication is like right back there.
Yeah.
Like, another thing that stood out to me from, I heard it at a concert a long time ago, like, you can go 30 years of your life and think that you've gone 10,000 miles away from God. He's one step away.
He's right there with
you. He's right there.
Yeah.
Like, he never goes anywhere. It's you thinking you're running from him, and he's like, there's Joshy. There's me.
Yeah.
We can't get away from him. Like, he's waiting there begging. I stand at the door and knock. Yeah. You open the door, we're going to have a good meal together. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to pour into you. You're never going to thirst or hunger again. And he never leaves. He's a good, good father.
He's a good, good father.
Yeah.
We're not singing that song.
No, we don't have to sing that song. But like through like all this, like everything we've been talking about, like the song's just like going through my head because worship through song. I mean, that's what all these songs, like you think of like Phil Wickham and like Brandon Heath, Give Me Your Eyes for Just 1 Minute. Like, okay. I mean, that's popped when you're talking about the eyes and seeing things. It's like that song popped right into my head. All these songs are all about this stuff, like Casting Crowns, Mercy Me. There's so many bands that everything is like life applicable, and it's all about focusing on God. Yep. And it is worshiping through music, but in those songs, you find scripture.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you get into that scripture and you get your study Bible out, and then you got your footnotes that we all know I'm a fan of. And your footnotes are going to take you further into the Bible on a nice journey.
Yep. Yeah. You know, everything that you said, everything like reading, you know, praying, all those things are our acts. They're acts of worship.
Yeah.
Which then catapult us into growth.
Yep.
Even more. Deeper relationship with God, a richer relationship. And I think that's the most important part. It's like it's a richer relationship. I don't just know of God. I know God.
Yeah.
I know Jesus. I don't just know of Jesus. I know Jesus.
Yeah.
And he knows me. Like knowing that, whew.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's awesome, you know? Oh, I'm not
he's not here today, so that'll preach.
I'm not even
sitting. I gotta say this one time. I gotta say, that'll preach.
But it's you know, even the song, like, you go through the whole Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when they went through the Red Sea and the Pharaoh and his armies were destroyed, the very first thing that happened after they got out of there, Miriam started praising God in song. It was a praise of victory and song. In order to take down Jericho, what did God tell them to do? Walk around and sing and worship. So they worshiped to tear down the walls there.
Yeah.
And then every battle, the worshipers, send out the worshipers first, send out the trumpets and the worshipers first before the battle. There is a definite thing that pulls God's attention towards us as we worship him. Mm. We wonder why we struggle with things, and we wonder why we are not breaking free. Like, God gives us almost the template in the book on how to break these things down.
Yeah.
You want the walls broken down in your life, the strongholds broken down in your life? Worship. You want victory in your life? Worship.
Yeah.
You want to get closer to me? Worship.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean. How, I don't know how easy, you know, he can make it.
I mean, basically open up your Bible to a page and try to find a page in the Bible that you cannot relate to giving God worship, giving God praise, giving God joy. Psalms 81, sing praises to God, our strength. Sing to the God of Jacob, sing, beat the tambourine, play the sweet lyre, the harp, blow the ram's horn at the new moon, and again at full moon to call a festival. For it is required by the decree of Israel.
Required.
Required. Yep. Praising God, required.
Every time that Israel came back out of exile,
yep.
What's the one thing they do? They set up the temple and they praised.
Yep. Yeah.
They had worship.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Right.
That's everything was through song and through worship. Lamentations, you know, it's a sad song, but it's a song. Song of songs, you know. That's,
right.
Ecclesiastes, let's just go, like, all of them, pretty much every book, you know. Yep. In the Old Testament and then even in the New Testament, you can relate it to worship. Mm-hmm. You can relate it to our relationship with God and how it affects us.
Right.
And how thankful we should be for what he's done for us.
Right.
You know, and if you're not willing, I mean, what did Jesus say? You know, if you try to stop them from worshiping,
right,
even the rocks are going to cry out.
Yep.
I don't want to be replaced by a rock. Nope. Right. We were just talking about that.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
I don't want to be replaced by a rock, and I'm sure that a lot of other people don't want to be replaced by rocks.
No, or red buttons.
Or red. Well, we could replace people with red buttons.
No.
That sing.
Mm. Anyway.
I should have the cricket one. But, you know, it is awesome to watch what God's doing in our church.
Yeah.
To see what God's moving. Like, I had the opportunity, like, as I was trying to work on the live stream.
Yep.
Listening to the recording of Sunday and listening to the congregation. Like, I got to solo just the congregation singing.
It sounded awesome.
It was the most, it was almost angelic to me.
Yeah.
Brought tears to my eyes to listen to everybody singing and everybody being involved. And, you know, I'm like, this is what we're made to do. You could feel that this is what you're made to do. Like, I would challenge anybody that hears this, that's listening, to just take a step of faith, to take a step forward and get and posture yourself to receive and to give God everything that's on your heart and see what he won't do. See that you won't feel a connection and a purpose, like saying, this is what I was made for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that's what people are missing, is the fact that we're made to worship him. We're designed to worship him, and we step out of that design and think that we're too good to worship him.
Right.
And we need to get back into that and get back into the design of God. We're made for a purpose.
Yeah.
We sing that song, Made for More.
Yep.
We're made for more. More than sitting there watching. Mm-hmm. More than sitting there not serving. More than, you know, just coming on Sunday, yep, more than just walking through our week without talking to somebody about Jesus, more than, yeah, or more than that.
And with that too, we talked about this the other day, in that same song, he didn't just say, hey buddy, you wanna come over here? You wanna come get loved on by me? Like, no, he called us by name. Before we were knit together in our mother's womb, God knew us.
Jeremiah.
And he called us to a time such as now. Like, you're not alive right now by mistake. You're alive right now and in the spot where you are right now for God's honor and glory. Yep. And if you think that you don't have something that God can use, you're wrong. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to give yourself to God's will. Submit yourself to God's will and say, use me. Let me worship you in today, however you have me. Make me look for the moments where I can be used to worship you openly in front of people, in my prayer closet, in my car. There are times where, like, I forget that I'm driving sometimes. And I got my hands up. I'm like, I need to steer my truck.
I know. I'll get my eyes closed.
It's like, I can't just be going full bore right now. But, like,
right,
when the Spirit of the Lord hits you, don't fight it. Embrace it. The same Holy Spirit that was in the disciples lives in us.
Yeah, there's no Holy Spirit Junior, right?
No.
I mean, we've heard that how many times?
So many times. Yeah. And I don't think he's going to stop because I think we still, like, I'm just now getting, after all the times I've heard it, like, the same Holy Spirit.
The same one.
That was in Philip and Matthew and James. And, like, it's the same one I got.
Yeah.
Which means I have the same potential of giftings and use of that Holy Spirit as they had. The difference was they could physically see Jesus for a moment. We got him all the time. We don't have to go look and be like, oh, did he go off into the woods to pray again? Or did he go over here to pray? Like, where is he? We can talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, it,
right. And the, and it's he incredible. Left the Spirit, and he left the Holy Spirit with us.
Yeah.
He said, it's better for me to go away so that the Comforter can come.
Yeah.
The one better than I can come.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have that direct connection, and we fail so many times.
Yeah.
And we don't understand. I think sometimes we don't understand that it's through every act of worship that we do,
yep,
that we connect.
Yep.
So in everything that you do as a Christian, as a believer, is an act of worship.
Yes.
Is an act of praise.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the song that we sing.
Right.
But it's the songs that we sing.
Right.
It's a song in our heart.
Right.
It's the spiritual songs and the hymns, yep, that we sing to each other, that we talk to each other. Like, yep, that is our act of worship. It's our spiritual act of worship as, yep, we live out this life and we grow closer and we draw nearer. The more that we draw closer to him, the more we worship him. Because, yep, even John, who is his best, like, the one he loved, right? He self-proclaimed, yep, the one he loved, but knew him. And when he saw Jesus in the vision, in Revelation, fell down on his face as dead, worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
We have no choice but, as we draw closer to him, to worship him.
Yeah.
We have no choice but to get into a position of, what is that?
Prostrate,
yeah.
Prostrate.
Not prostate.
Prostate is what you have to start getting checked when you get over 40.
Right.
Yeah, prostrate. Sorry.
Prostrate. So we get into that position, you know, no matter what. I think we need to get into the understanding that this is ongoing. So we're going to be in God's presence. We're going to be worshiping. Mm-hmm. So if you can't take the worship now, you're not going to like it in heaven.
Right.
I mean, there's lights and smoke and there's things going on in heaven. You better, yeah, get used to it now.
Yeah.
Like, it's loud. When you, yeah, get millions and millions of people worshiping, saying the same exact thing,
yeah,
that's going to be loud.
I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be really good.
So we're going to be worshiping forever and ever and ever. I want to get my practice in now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you told me the other day, and then I read it again, like, the Levites practiced for 30 years before they were considered to be in the worship band,
yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I've been, you know, playing guitar for a year now when it's kind of convenient for me,
right,
in all intents and purposes. You know, 15, 20 minutes of practice a day, that's not enough.
No.
In all realness.
No.
I mean, these guys dedicated their life just to practicing an instrument, training their voices. And while we're talking about, you know, just an instrument there, you think about yourself. What's your instrument? Your instrument is reading the Bible, praying, worshiping from your heart, worshiping through giving, worshiping through sharing, worshiping through loving on somebody, showing compassion, just seeing a person in need and being like, hey, I'm just going to go put my arm around them and just love on them a little bit and feel the move of the Spirit to do that.
Right.
And not shut it off anymore. Not be concerned about, well, kickoff's in 20 minutes, I better get home. Or, I mean, the joke always was in the 90s, you know, we set the timer for the pot roast to be done at 12:15, so probably should wrap this thing up so it doesn't get burnt. Yeah.
Jesus was the ultimate example of worship.
Yeah.
When he was in the garden, and he's praying, and he's like, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate expression of worship.
Yep.
That is what we should strive for in everything that we do.
Yeah.
Not my will, but yours be. Okay, God, I'm coming into church today. Not my will.
Right.
But yours be done.
Yeah.
I know I don't like to raise my hands, or I don't like this act of expression, but not my will.
Right.
But yours be done.
Right.
I don't want to go help that person, but not my will,
yeah,
but yours be done.
Right.
And if we are in that mindset by, and it's that mindset, like we talked just a little bit ago, we need to be starting every day. Mm-hmm. We need to be in that mode every single day.
Yeah.
We need to position ourselves there every single day so that we're ready to be at a moment's notice, not my will, but yours be done.
Yeah.
Jesus is the example. Jesus is where we strive to. He came down so that we could see what it's like.
Yeah.
See what a person led by the Holy Spirit, led by God, can do, give his life, and that's our example. He came down as a physical example for us to be able to look at and go, okay, that's my measuring stick.
Right.
And that's where I need to go.
Right.
And he would take time to go away and pray. He would take time to spend time with the Father, but he also took time to heal the sick and to feed the poor and the hungry. And he was there with them. He was worshiping at all times. Everything that he did was an act of worship. And it's just, that's our example.
Right.
So I'm going to end it before we get in trouble and we don't ever get to do this again.
Yeah. The last thing before we fade out, though.
Okay.
I'm going to circle back to prayer.
Let's do it.
Just because we are in such a period of growth right now in our church, bringing it back to just us. If you're not daily lifting our pastor up in prayer and the leadership of this church up in prayer, we're not doing our job, because the enemy does not like what's happening one bit, and he is going to fight tooth and nail to try to get his way. Our eyes need to be constantly focused on God. And we all have a stake in this battle.
Absolutely.
And if we're not praying for our pastor, for our worship team, for our elders, for our deacons, for our children's life leaders, for the person that you sit next to every Sunday at church, if you don't know the person's name that you sit next to at church, start there this week. Turn to him and be like, hey, listen, I've been sitting next to you for 3 months. I still don't know your name. My name, whoever. But we've got to...
Julius,
yes. We've got to be praying for our church and for our pastor, our pastor's wife.
Absolutely.
And it cannot stop. Our eyes cannot leave God. When we do, we go under the waves.
That can be like that can be the very beginning of the act of worship that we do. It's just by start by praying.
Yeah.
Praying for your church family, praying for what's going on, praying for the people around you.
Yeah.
That right there. Let's start. Gotta start somewhere.
So is that where we're starting right now as we end?
Let's go. All right.
Father God, I just praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that we live in a country where we can freely come and proclaim your name without worry of the door being busted down and being arrested, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would still have the faith and the conviction to do that if that was the realness, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for the heart of our pastor, for the challenging that he puts on the men that are in the leadership, Lord, for the outpouring of love and grace and mercy that comes from you through us to the people that we witness to, that we share with, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to keep our eyes ever focused on you, that you would help us, Lord, this Sunday as we come in to worship corporately, Lord, that we would be freed, Lord, from the bondages of our daily lives, Lord, from the sin that has been overtaking us, and that you would help people to feel free just to give it to you, that they would be able to lay it down to you, Lord, that there would be an outcry, Lord, of need for you, that they would meet you where they are and allow you to come in and start to change them today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll continue just to work in our lives, Lord. Help us to not be complacent with where we are. Help us to be hungry, to be closer, to be ever closer to you, ever striving, Lord, to be more like you, to be constantly in your will, Lord. And Lord, just go with us. Protect us, Lord. Keep us tight in your hands, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.